Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 77 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Cody Robinson.
And I'm Kenzie Thompson.
What we have is a battle of personalities, and it's Bevin versus not Bevin.
Democratic candidates for governor had their final debate last night.
Moorhead State will host a basketball camp next month.
Governor Matt Bevin is appealing a federal abortion ruling.
Doctors are warning residents to check for ticks this time of year.
A Fayette County teacher is working with a barber for a youth mentoring program.
In sports, Moorhead State begins the final series of the regular season this afternoon.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
And tonight, a 20% chance of rain with a low around 63 degrees. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
The Democratic candidates running for Kentucky governor have vowed to push for more state funding for higher education and address the pension issue as they met for their second televised debate this week. Andy Beshear, Adam Edelin, Rocky Adkins, and Geoff Young answered questions Wednesday at the University of Kentucky in Lexington. On the topic of pensions, Adkins says the current plan is working and any changes should be made in a bipartisan manner.
Because of that bipartisan help and agreement, and because of those stakeholders at the table, we passed a bill that's getting results. Over the last 2 years, the Kentucky retirement system from its investments has earned over $2.4 billion. The teacher retirement system earned last year 15.5%, last year 18.4%. Keep the reforms that we have in place. Any modifications or adjustments made need to be made with bipartisan support, stakeholders at the table.
Edelin says he wants to appoint individuals he feels are more competent to pension oversight boards, while Beshear and Young both touted plans to increase overall revenue to bolster pension funds. Voters will choose the Democratic nominee on May 21st.
Kentucky Republicans will have four candidates to choose from for governor when they head to the polls next week. Appearing on the ballot will be incumbent Governor Matt Bevin, Robert Goforth, Ike Lawrence, and William Woods. Dr. Stephen Voss is a political scientist. He tells LEX 18 it's not typical for there to be so many challengers with an incumbent governor, but the political climate is quite a bit different this go-around.
What we have is a battle of personalities, and it's Bevin versus not Bevin. Sometimes you have voters who care more that someone's trying to fix things than care about what the particular fix would be. And therefore, being the candidate of reform can be a good message, even if the reforms haven't gone through yet.
For that reason, Voss believes Governor Bevin is still a major contender. Election day is set for the 21st.
Undaunted by his status as a political underdog, State Representative Robert Goforth has logged more than 10,000 miles in his pickup truck and invested at least $750,000 of his own money into challenging Kentucky's governor in the state's Republican primary. Goforth is one of three GOP candidates challenging Bevin in the state's May 21st primary election. In a state now dominated by Republicans, the GOP primary has been overshadowed by the Democratic gubernatorial race featuring three prominent candidates. But Goforth's candidacy could provide a measure of Bevin's popularity among Republicans after a tumultuous time as governor, and perhaps even hint at where his party stands with voters heading into the 2020 presidential election contests.
Kentucky Governor Matt Bevin's administration has started its appeal of a federal judge's ruling that struck down a state abortion law that would halt a common second trimester procedure to end pregnancies. The Republican governor's legal team filed a notice of appeal Wednesday with the 6th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals. U.S. District Judge Joseph H. McKinley Jr. ruled last week that the 2018 law would create a substantial obstacle to a woman's right to an abortion, violating constitutionally protected privacy rights. Bevin, who opposes abortion, immediately vetoed to appeal. The law takes aim at an abortion procedure known as dilation and evacuation. According to state statistics, the procedure was used in 537 of 3,312 abortions in Kentucky in 2016. A consent order suspended the law's enforcement pending the outcome of last year's trial.
The Moorhead City Council passed an amendment on Monday allowing the city to purchase property along U.S. 60 in downtown Moorhead. The parcel of land, located next to Sunshine World Car Wash, will be purchased for $94,000. Moorhead Mayor Laura White-Brown says the property could become the location for a new police and fire station. White Brown and a group from the city recently took a tour of a similar facility in Berea.
When you have everyone together, you increase the accessibility of vital services in your community. If police need fire or vice versa, even City Hall employees, you're all right there together and you can address issues immediately. And I thought that was a really unique way to look at it. And I kind of have a new appreciation for putting departments together for that reason.
White Brown says the low price tag on the property is because that is all that is left to pay for the difference in an agreement made between the city and the state transportation cabinet almost 30 years ago.
Area kids will soon get the chance to learn basketball skills from college-level coaches and athletes. The Morehead State Basketball Eagle Day Camp takes place next month and will have children in kindergarten through eighth grade working alongside players and staff to improve their game. Head coach Preston Spradlin says this is year three for the camp.
Really looking forward to seeing our returning campers that have been here the past couple years to see how they've grown, see how they've taken the drills and skills and things that we taught them over the past couple summers and how they've transitioned that into improving their basketball game. And so a lot of excitement this year as we'll have quite a few of our players here on campus, a lot of new faces and some returners that will be working with the kids. So that's always a lot of fun.
The camp runs June 10th through the 13th from 9 a.m. to noon. For more information, go online to abcsportscamps.com/MSUMBB.
A Fayette County teacher has teamed up with a local barbershop to mentor Lexington youth. Harrison Elementary teacher Simon Vanderpool teamed up with Amir Shalash, owner of Prince Cuts Barbershop, for a new mentorship program. Vanderpool tells WKYT it is aimed towards kids without a strong male figure in their lives.
These kids right now are going to grow up and they're going to be the police officers. They're going to be the lawyers. You know, they're going to be the newscasters. They're going to be the teachers. And so right now we're investing in our future.
Books and Barbers is for any child grades K through 6 who stops by the barbershop on Richmond Road in Lexington during normal business hours. The kids get to pick out a book and read it to their barber. When they're done, they get to take that book home for free, along with $3 and a sticker.
This year is supposed to be rough for ticks. Doctors are warning that because of the wet spring we have had so far, the conditions are perfect for them to be out. Dr. Thomas Rushton is an infectious disease specialist with St. Mary's Medical Center. He tells WSAZ it is important to check for ticks every time you're outside.
Look at the nape of the hair, where there's a hairline, all right? And you want to look very, very closely because it may look like it's a little skin abrasion or a mole. But if it's a tick and you touch it, those legs are going to move and so on. And you may need a magnifying glass. You want to look at crevices, so skin folds.
Although doctors say only about 10% of ticks carry diseases, you still need to be keeping an eye on any bite. Two serious diseases that doctors watch for are Lyme disease and Rocky Mountain spotted fever.
We'll have more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from Jenny's Embroidery Unlimited, 143 East Main Street in Morehead. Embroidery Unlimited specializes in screen printing, embroidery, heat press, quilts, and blankets, wedding, anniversary, and baby gifts, custom-designed t-shirts, pullovers, hoodies, hats, and bags for athletic teams, Greek organizations, clubs, and businesses. Open at 9 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Monday through Friday. Embroidery Unlimited can be reached at 784-7000 and Facebook under Jenny's Embroidery Unlimited.
A recent arrest in Pike County has some residents questioning the state's laws for driving under the influence. On Monday afternoon, a Kentucky state trooper arrested 47-year-old Charles Morris for a DUI. As word of that arrest spread throughout the community, many people found themselves going back to March of 2001, when Morris was charged with murder following a tragic crash. In that case, Morris ran a red light and struck the vehicle driven by Troy Thornsberry, who was driving his 22-year-old wife, Veronica, to the hospital to give birth to their child. Both Veronica and her child were killed, and Morris eventually pleaded guilty to two counts of second-degree manslaughter. Assistant Pike County Attorney Kyle Deskins tells Mountaintop Media Kentucky law only looks at a 10-year window.
A lot of people have the belief that you got a DUI and that follows you around forever. Under the law, which is KRS 189A.010, what you look at is the number of offenses within a 10-year period. Now, it goes from the date of offense, not the date of conviction. It's been more than 10 years since he's had a DUI. Therefore, he's only charged with a first offense.
Deskin says prosecutors can only follow the law the way it is currently written, but it would be nice to have an exception in cases like this one.
The Magoffin County toddler who went missing Sunday night and was found on Wednesday is in pretty good shape after being transported to a pediatric medical center. WYMT reports Kenneth Howard was found by a 50-foot cliff near a Floyd County strip mine. Search efforts had been underway for several days. South Magoffin Fire Department Assistant Chief Brent Hanshew talks about his determination to find the child.
I was froze to death and wet, and every time I think I was cold, I'd think about that baby, and then I'd about start crying. And I don't know, I just didn't want to give up on him.
Howard was dehydrated when rescue crews found him, but he is reportedly in otherwise good condition.
Police in Louisville say they fatally shot a man who hit an officer with his vehicle. Louisville police spokesman Dwight Mitchell told news outlets that officers were trying to stop a vehicle Wednesday morning in connection with an investigation of several business robberies. Mitchell said the car hit an officer who was outside of his vehicle, then crashed into an officer's car. He said a Louisville officer shot the man in his vehicle. He was then taken to the hospital where he died. Mitchell said the officer hit by the vehicle is expected to be okay. The man who was shot was the only person in his vehicle. He was not identified. Mitchell said the department's public integrity unit is investigating the incident.
The Montgomery County Sheriff is looking for help from the public in identifying two people who may be connected to a series of burglaries that occurred in the Oldfield subdivision on May 15th. The sheriff says a man and a woman were captured on home surveillance systems in the area. According to the sheriff, the two were doing door-to-door offering to provide services. The woman is reported to have pink highlights in her hair. Anyone with information about the two is asked to contact the sheriff's office or message the sheriff's Facebook page.
Firefighters in Lexington broke through the wall of a duplex to rescue a Jessamine County couple on Wednesday. LAX 18 reports Deanna Rittenberry and her husband awoke to fire in the bedroom of her friend's apartment. Rittenberry has been paralyzed after a pair of strokes, and her husband tried to help but was unable to get her out. Firefighters broke through an adjacent wall and picked her up from the floor before rushing from the house. No injuries have been reported.
The Fayette County Coroner is seeking the public's assistance finding the family of a Lexington man. 61-year-old Marshall K. Wood Prophet was born September 12, 1957, and died of natural causes May 14th at St. Joseph Hospital East. Officials tell LEX 18 Prophet was homeless and had no permanent address. It's possible he has two children, Mark and Stephanie Bentley, who were adopted by their grandparents. They may live or have lived in Pikeville. Stephanie may have married. Anyone with information is asked to call the coroner's office at 859-455-5700.
Police in Lexington are looking for information on four suspects who broke into a home early this morning and shot a man. The victim was a 61-year-old man who was sleeping on the couch when the men kicked in the front door and began screaming and shooting. LEX 18 reports the victim was taken to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. Authorities say other people were in the house at the time of the incident but were unable to describe these suspects well. Anyone with information on the incident is asked to contact the Lexington Police Department.
Taking a look at the extended weather forecast, tonight a 20% chance of rain with increasing clouds and a low around 63. Tomorrow, a 20% chance of rain as well, mostly cloudy with a high near 86. Tomorrow night, mostly clear skies with a low around 64. On Saturday, mostly sunny with a high near 84. On Saturday night, partly cloudy skies with a low around 65. And on Sunday, a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly sunny skies with a high near 86. Moving on to local temperatures, right now in Flemingsburg is 75 degrees, Lexington 79, in Winchester 78 degrees, Inez 76 degrees, Ashland 78 degrees, and right here in Moorhead 77 degrees.
On our feature segment today, Kentuckians in their 50s have the highest food insecurity rate in the nation. The Kentucky News Connection's Nadia Romlagan has more.
Kentuckians in their 50s have the highest rate of food insecurity in the nation. According to a new report by Feeding America, 18.6% of adults age 50 to 59 in the state have experienced hunger or uncertainty about where their next meal was coming from. Nationally, the rate is 11.3%. The study looks at nationwide census survey data from 2001 through 2017 and found a sharp increase in food insecurity among middle-aged adults during the Great Recession from 2008 through 2012. Michael Halligan of God's Pantry Food Bank says incomes are shrinking and individuals 50 and older are making less money compared with previous generations.
So we're looking at that 50 to 59 age range to begin to understand, as adults reach retirement age, what types of challenges will they be faced with when they reach that retirement age.
The report concludes that nearly one in eight persons in their 50s were food insecure in 2017, a 46% increase from 2001. A companion report looking specifically at senior hunger found Kentucky's 8.4% food insecurity rate for people 60 or older also tops the national average. Halligan says many seniors are forced to stretch their dollars for medical care, transportation, and other expenses.
Oftentimes, what we see with seniors are individuals who are living on a fixed income, and they're trying to make a decision between using the scarce resources that they have to buy medicines or to purchase food.
The authors of the report note that despite the end of the Great Recession, across the country, almost 1 in 12 seniors were food insecure in 2017. Halligan says in Kentucky, there are numerous resources to help seniors struggling with how to buy food, including the federally funded Commodity Supplemental Food Program, run by the Kentucky Department of Agriculture. The program works to provide people 60 and older at risk of hunger with food assistance. For Kentucky News Connection, I'm Nadia Ramlagan.
It's 447 and 77 degrees here on the campus of Morehead State University. We are coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in Breckenridge Hall. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Cody Robinson, here with Kenzie Thompson, and we're so glad you're tuning in on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. Leanne Akers has your check of sports right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Recreation and Wellness Center at Morehead State University, offering a weekly summer camp program for children ages 5 through 12. Open to the community May 20th through August 2nd, an inclusive, fun, and active camp program run by certified counselors. Space is limited. More information by calling Zach Martin at 783-5284 or online at morehedstate.edu/recreation.
The Eagles are back at home for WMKY Sports. I'm Leanne Akers. The Morehead State University baseball team is set to begin their final series of the regular season this afternoon. The Eagles had yesterday off after taking down Dayton 8-5 on Tuesday and are now hosting Southeast Missouri for a three-game series. Head coach Mike McGuire says the team's record doesn't reflect SEMO's abilities.
They have played better of late. They've gotten a couple guys back from injury. So their record's very misleading. They're much better than what their record says. But I think we're going to have a handful. We're going to see something unique. They're going to start three left-handers on the mound. Don't see that very often in college baseball. And so we're going to have our hands full for sure.
First pitch is set for 5:00 this evening at Sunny Allen Field. The 16th region is rounding out regular season action this week, and several regional softball matchups are scheduled for tonight. Fleming County hosts Pendleton, Ashland Blazer travels to Russell, and West Carter hosts Boyd County. All three of those games begin at 5:30 p.m. Bath County hosts Morgan County, and Elliott County hosts Greenup. Both those games are set for 6 this evening. Taking a look at regional baseball action tonight, Raceland hosts Bath County at 6 p.m. The Rams are in second place in the region with a 27-2 record. East Carter travels to Fairview, and West Carter heads to Greenup at 5:30 p.m. Then Ashland Blazer hosts Lewis County, and Morgan County travels to Breathitt for games set to begin at 6. We'll have a look at all of the scores from tonight's matchups tomorrow on Morning Edition. The Rowan County baseball team is off tonight. 7 members of the Vikings starting lineup graduate this evening, and the team is preparing for postseason play that begins Saturday. Head coach Scott Collins says his team had a great final regular season game against East Carter.
Matthew Gagliano, pitched for us and did a good job. you know, Chase Alderman get his first home run of his high school career last night. So he went for 3 for 3. So, you know, he hit the ball really well. And then, you know, Corey had a home run as well. So just hit the ball well and got good pitching, good defense. It was a good all-around night.
The Vikings will face off with Menifee in the first round of the 61st District Tournament. Game time Saturday is set for noon in Bath County. The Round County softball team is taking a couple of days off for graduation before their final game of the regular season. The Vikings head to Olive Hill tomorrow to face off with the 9-9 West Carter Comets. Rowan is coming off a win at Lewis County that moved the team to 23-10 on the season. Head coach Larry Sloan says his team cannot discount the Lady Comets.
They haven't played a lot. They only played 18 games. And, you know, looking at the scores, it didn't appear that, you know, they were real good. But, you know, they turned around and beat Fleming last night 7-3. So we can't. I just don't think you can take them lightly. I think you got to be ready to play and go over and take care of business.
Game time Friday in Olive Hill is set for 5:30 p.m. Struggling all season but heating up lately, Yasiel Puig helped the Cincinnati Reds take game two of a series with the Cubs at home last night. Puig delivered his first and the club's first walk-off moment of the season with an RBI single over a drawn-in outfield for a 6-5 Reds victory over the Cubs. Puig tells Reds.com he knew the win was up to him.
Now I am focused to put the ball in the play and the game, and finally I put the ball in the air and we won. Long time in, they didn't not finish the game like this, and I'm so excited now, and let's go win more games tomorrow.
The Reds close out the three-game series with the Cubs tonight at Great American Ballpark. First pitch is set for 6:40 p.m. Morehead State junior Aaron Weir and senior Justin Mochler will represent the Eagles at the 2019 NCAA East Region Track and Field Preliminaries, both qualified to take part in the 1,500-meter event. The East Regional will take place May 23rd through the 25th at the University of North Florida's Hodges Stadium in Jacksonville, Florida. The men's 1,500-meter first round will be run at 6 p.m. May 23rd, with the final on May 25th at 6:45. Those advancing out of the regional will head to Austin, Texas for the NCAA Championships June 5th through the 8th. The top 48 times in each event qualify for regionals. Weir's best time this year of 3 minutes 44 seconds is the 23rd fastest at the regional, while Mochler's high water mark of 3:46 qualified as the 46th best time. They are the only two Ohio Valley Conference runners in the 1,500-meter race at the East Regional. Mochler won the 1,500-meter event at the OVC Championships last weekend, while Weir came in third. And finally, in sports this afternoon, a jockey has appealed his suspension involving his ride aboard the disqualified Kentucky Derby winner. KNN's Paul Miles is following the story.
Kentucky horse racing stewards slapped Luis Saez with a 15-day suspension for his ride aboard Maximum Security, who finished first in the Derby but was disqualified for interference. The jockey's appeal calls the suspension unduly harsh and says the ruling unconstitutionally deprives Saez of due process and equal protection of the law. It calls the actions arbitrary and capricious. Saez's attorneys are requesting that the suspension be delayed during the appeal. They say Saez is already committed to rides at Belmont Park. I'm Paul Miles.
And that's going to do it for sports for WMKY. I'm Leanne Akers.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Men's basketball will host the Eagle Day Camp June 10th through 13th from 9 a.m. to noon in MSU's Johnson Arena, open to boys and girls in kindergarten through 8th grade. More information from the Eagle Athletic Office at 783-2089 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks rose as sentiment was boosted by strong earnings from Walmart and Cisco Systems, while banks climbed on higher rates. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a gain of 214.66 at 25,862.68. The S&P 500 was up 25.36 at 2876.32, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 75.9 at 7898.05. Walmart shares rose over 1% after the retailer posted first quarter earnings for fiscal 2020 that topped analyst expectations. The company said it is in a, quote, good position to meet its goals for the calendar year despite tough comparisons for the second quarter. Cisco also reported better-than-expected quarterly earnings, sending the stock up 7%. The company issued stronger-than-forecast revenue guidance as well. And the big banks, such as Citigroup, J.P. Morgan, Bank of America, and Morgan Stanley, all gained more than 1% as the yield on the 10-year Treasury note rose above 2.4%, and a better-than-expected housing starts report helped to boost interest rates. In the commodities markets, oil is up 1.7% at $63.07. Gold was down 0.8% at $1,287.20 an ounce. In Europe, stocks had a good day with the Stock 600 index up 1.25%. In Asia, stocks were mixed with the Nikkei down 0.6% and the Shanghai Composite up 0.625%. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were Cisco and Boeing, and the worst performers were 3M and Caterpillar. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Cisco Systems and Mettler-Toledo, while the worst performers were Nectar Therapeutics and Xilinx. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was U.S. Bancorp 70 cents at $51.49, Walmart up $1.42 at $101.30, Delta Airlines up 32 cents at $55.37, Marathon Petroleum up $1.68 at $52.87, and Anthem was up $5.08 to finish at $263.73. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center, providing a curbside recycling service to residents of Moorhead and Rowan County. Residential pickup available every Sunday. Pre-sorting the recycled materials is not required. Accepting number 1 and 2 plastic, cardboard, paper, electronics, metal, and grocery bags. Materials may be placed in any container, placed at curbside for pickup and visible from street. More information by calling 784-1250. Taking a look at some community events in your region, the Rowan County Caring and Sharing Alzheimer's Support Group will be meeting at 6 p.m. on Monday, June 3rd at the Rowan County Public Library. Caregivers of those with Alzheimer's or related disorder are invited to attend. Attendees will receive education, support, and information about caregiving issues.
The MSU Summer Arts Academy takes place June 9th through 15th at Morehead State University. Offered to area high school students with an interest in music, theater, art and design, ceramics and photography, fees include housing, meals, activities, and instruction. Merit scholarships are available. More information by calling 606-783-2401.
The 4th Annual Jingle Bell 5K will be held on Saturday, June 22nd at the Clyde A. Thomas Regional Airport. Sponsored by Rowan County Christmas, the event begins at 8 a.m. and entry fee is $25. Prizes awarded to the top 3 male and female finishers. Top 3 overall finishers and 7 divisions will also receive prizes. Proceeds will support Rowan County Christmas.
The Gateway Regional Arts Center of Mount Sterling presents the Women's Choir Concert at 7 on Saturday, May 18th. Tickets are priced at $10 for adults and $5 for students. Taking one more look at the weather, a 20% chance of showers tonight, increasing clouds and a low around 63. Tomorrow, a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms before 10 a.m., mostly cloudy with a high near 86. Tomorrow night, mostly clear with a low around 64. And on Saturday, mostly sunny with a high near 84. Saturday night, partly cloudy with a low around 65. And on Sunday, a chance of showers, mostly sunny with a high near 86 degrees.
And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today, we had help from Tanner Boyd, Joe Lewis, Nacogdoches Miller, Leanne Akers, Kyle Blankenbuehler, Greg Jenkins, and Paul Hitchcock. Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke, and our feature segment today came from Kentucky News Connections' Nadia Ramlagan. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202BH in Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Kenzie Thompson and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Cody Robinson. For WMKY News, All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.